Chris Elliott, of course, could not be here this morning, so I am pinch hitting, and I was not prepared to preach today, so if it's a little rough, you'll understand why, okay? But I've titled the message that the Lord had laid on my heart, and we're thinking about this last night into this morning, Celebrating Life, Celebrating Life. This is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and that title certainly seems to fit for a Sunday like this. And the text that I'm going to be sharing briefly from is Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. Very familiar words. We often hear these shared at Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and so it's appropriate for us to hear them again today. The word of the Lord from Psalm 139, beginning with verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The word of the Lord from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. I want to make just a few points this morning about sanctity of human life, and Peggy has already done a great job with that. She's actually condensed my sermon down to about 3 or 4 minutes. But we're not going to forgo the sermon just because she's done a good job with that. And the first point I'd like to make today is that every life is precious to God. Every life is precious to God. And we can go back to the creation story. And I had opportunity, I'm doing the read through the Bible that we've had out here in the gathering area for you. And it began in Genesis. And so at the beginning of the year, what are we reading? We're reading the creation story. We're reading the story of the fall and then those great stories from Genesis of Noah and Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Isaac and all those people. But it begins with the creation story. And we know that when we read in Genesis 2 of God's creating the world, the earth, and all the things in it, that God specifically created humans uniquely. That he formed them in his image, it says. Male and female, both made in the image of God. And we know that God breathed his breath of life into Adam. So yes, we have all this creation that God does in Genesis chapter 1, but there's something different about humanity, something unique about his creation of male and female. It's made in his image. And if we read more in Genesis, we see the unique relationship that God has with people that he doesn't seem to have with the created order, with animal life, with plant life, and so forth. We have relationship with God because we are made in his image. And so life is precious to God. And we see that in beginning in the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation. What do we know as the sixth commandment? Thou shalt not kill. Right? Thou shalt not kill. Why? Because life is precious to God. When we kill, we are destroying life. We're destroying life that's made in his image. And so we have the first, one of the first sins that we see in Scripture is the murder, right? Cain and Abel. It happened there. And how that grieved the heart of God. And then we see lots of other murder and killing throughout the Old Testament that no doubt had to grieve the heart of God. Why? Because every human soul is precious to him, made in his image. And we need to recognize that as well. And I think when we look at the New Testament as well, the examples of Jesus are pretty clear. How Jesus treated humanity. People who were disposable or invisible in Jesus' day, he talked to. He made them heroes in his story. And then the children are brought to him. The disciple says, get those kids away. He doesn't have time to deal with the children. He said, no, let the children come to me. Widows, orphans, Samaritans, people who were the lower level of society, people who were, some would say, sort of less than human. Jesus said, no, no, no. These are humans created in the image of God. They have tremendous value. And we as a society need to recognize that as well. Sometimes we see on the news about someone who's done something horrific, whether it's a mass murder or whatever, and we think, oh, that person's an animal, that person's a monster. That person is still made in the image of God. What they did is certainly horrific, and we're not justifying that in any means. But they are made in the image of God. They have value, and we need to recognize that. That every life is precious to God. The second point that I'd like to make this morning is this, that life is to be protected. Life is to be protected. And of course, the first thing that comes to mind there is the scourge of abortion that has plagued our nation for many years. And certainly, the unborn need to be protected because the unborn have a beating heart, right? They're made in the image of God as well. And yes, you know, the laws have changed, but we still have abortion within our society. And tragically, too many lives that aren't being protected are being murdered, being killed. And life is to be protected. And so we need to be champions for life. There's also in Scripture many examples of where people who were very vulnerable in society. And what does Jesus say to the church? Or what does the Apostle Paul and others say to the church in the New Testament? Protect the widows. Care for the widows. Care for the orphans that are among you. Care for the strangers. Jesus talked about strangers, how we treat strangers. All these are precious lives, and they are to be protected. And they are very vulnerable in our society, not just 2,000 years ago, but even today. Even today. Those who are sick and afflicted, those who are elderly, those who are alone in this world become extremely vulnerable in our society. And I think we as believers in Jesus Christ, as a church, have a responsibility to protect life, particularly that life that is vulnerable to our society. Widows and orphans and those who are struggling a bit. And I love the teaching then from Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats, and he talks about, you know, feeding the hungry and clothing those who are naked and visiting people in prison. And the disciples say, well, when did we see you? When did these things happen? You know, when did this happen? And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, my brother, you did it to me. Who are the least of these? The vulnerable, the unprotected, those who are at risk in our society. Those are the ones that we should be doing those kinds of ministry to. Peggy mentioned some of them this morning in her mission, or moment for missions here, about the vulnerable in our society. I serve on the Solanco Neighborhood Ministries Board. One of the great challenges they have is trying to find affordable housing for people who are unhoused here in the southern end. And the list is growing and growing of people who have no place to go. And their hands feel tied because there's no affordable housing here in the southern end for them. So how do we dream big, as Peggy mentioned, about opportunities to help those who are most vulnerable in our community? Because life is to be protected. And I think we follow the example of Jesus when we seek out those opportunities to protect and to value life. The third point I'd like to make this morning is this. As followers of Jesus, we are to be champions of life. We are to be champions of life. We are to see each person as unique for as being coming from God, being made in the image of God. One of the things I love to do is just sit and observe people and just see how different we are. But yet each one of us is unique, and yet we're made in the image of God. And we need to be champions of life for that simple purpose of seeing each person as a beloved part of the family of God, as a beloved member of humanity made in the image of God. We need to add value to the life of others. And I think for a moment of the Christian church for 2,000 years and denominations and the things that we have done in 2,000 years to add life, value to life of those, not just here in our country, but throughout the world. Think of the mission work that's been done to help people, to minister to their needs. Think of the orphanages that have been started in third world countries and throughout the world. Think of all the opportunities that have happened to be champions of life in places where life is even more devalued than it is here in the States. I think of Kobe's. Kobe's, what a wonderful organization, a champion of life. You know, we support Kobe's as we should. They have a long history of being a champion of life, and we as a church need to come alongside those organizations, like the Pregnancy Center on the insert in our bulletin. Come alongside those organizations that are champions of life and say, we agree with your mission and your values, because we value life too. So as followers of Jesus, we are to be champions of life and adding value to life of others, both here in our community, throughout the world, and in the organizations that we partner with. Seeing each person as unique, as a beloved creation of God. There's a fourth point I'd like to make this morning, and that's this. Yes, we should be champions of life. We should be celebrating life, but we should also be celebrating new life. We should be celebrating new life. Because every human being, yes, is made in the image of God, but also is a fallen human being and needs to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, a new has come. And so we have a responsibility to be champions of life, absolutely. But we need to be champions of new life as well. And that is that life-giving, life-changing relationship that people have when they believe and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And my prayer is that when we have the Dream Big board, which will go up this week out here in the gathering area and over the next 6 weeks, and we're dreaming big about ministries, that we would be constantly dreaming about how do we continue to reach lost people for Jesus Christ. How do we continue to be champions for new life for those in our families and in our friends and our neighbors and our community who are far from God? And without a relationship with Jesus Christ, we know that they will die and face an eternal hell. And so we need to dream big about being champions of life, absolutely. How we can serve and minister to the vulnerable in our community. But also, how can we reach those who are far from God? I'm being preaching a message here at the end of the preaching series entitled, The Ones Jesus Misses the Most. The ones Jesus misses the most. Those are the ones that are far from him. People don't like to be called lost. We know them as lost. The Bible calls them as lost. But I think they're the ones Jesus misses the most. And I think we have a responsibility to be the champions for new life and to do all that we can to speak into their lives. So on this Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, again, appreciate the comments that Peggy shared in this brief message, but think about opportunities in which we can be champions for life, but also champions for new life. And I'd love to see lots of wonderful ideas on the Dream Big board when it shows up here next week, because we have tremendous opportunity. We have tremendous resources here at Mechanic Grove, and so let's be good stewards of what God has given to us so that we can be champions of life, that we can celebrate life, both the life that God has given to us and the new life that we find through faith in Jesus Christ. To the praise of his glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of life. And we recognize that every human soul is a blessing, is a precious gift to us, precious in your sight. Life is to be protected, Lord. Life is to be celebrated. And we are to be champions of life. For the unborn, absolutely. For those who are marginalized in our society, for those who are falling through the cracks, Lord, we have opportunity to be a champion of life for them. But Father, let us never lose sight of the fact that every human soul is lost without Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. So might we be champions of new life as well. Might we continue to share and proclaim and to live out before others the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that they might come to that life-giving, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. That's why we are here. That's why we exist as a body of believers, to be champions for life, champions for new life, champions for Jesus. Thank you for your word to us this morning, Lord, and ask that it might resonate in our heart as we move closer to the Dream Big series and begin envisioning and dreaming about what you desire to do in and through us as your church, the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.